This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you. And see some of you came to hear me run my mouth some more that know me. Some don't know me. Appreciate, each one coming, and hopefully we can learn some things together today, looking at ownership, creating and maintaining ownership is what we're going to look at today. And ownership is a word that we use at camp a lot, and I think before I would have went to camp, I would have viewed ownership a little bit more as something I own, a piece of property, something that I possess. And I think at camp, I learned we talk about it more in a way of this idea of taking care of something, maybe not an object as much as an idea or the thing that we're a part of, and how we take care of it and what we do to take care of it. So I have really nice craft here. Really been working on it pretty hard over the years. Pretty sweet. It's a piece of wood. It kind of pretty. I don't know. We could hang it somewhere on your wall in the living room if you like it or not. It's okay. Maybe it'd be better, on the floor. The only thing bad about that is, though, it seems to tip a little bit, so we'd have to prop it up, probably. But other than that, it's pretty pretty. It's nice. It's a decent log. It's nice. It's good. Does anybody think this could be better? If we would do something more to it, do you think we could actually improve on it? I think we could. Some of you guys are really good at doing crafts, and with a little time and effort, I think we could make this piece of wood into something pretty nice that you'd actually be pretty proud of, that would sit in your living room maybe, or on your desk, or on the wall, if you want it on the wall. But at the same time, it could sit in your living room or your office, like it is, and it'd be a story, something to talk about, and it is a tree, after all, and God created it, and it's kind of neat. But I'd like us to think a little bit about your mission, and I don't know where all we work, right? We're all involved in mission somewhere, whether it be, abroad, or maybe it could be just at home where you work. But think about that organization a little bit like this piece of wood, and what are you doing to create ownership in your place of work? Are you just there? Are you just doing your thing, doing your time or whatever you've committed to? Or are you going and doing some things that kind of add to the ministry, add something beyond just the ministry? Because what makes a ministry work and what makes a ministry be something that people want to be a part of is something when people add something that they bring, right? That each one of you bring to your ministry. And I think with some help, we could actually work on this as a group and probably come up with something here in the next 45 minutes on this that we'd be maybe more proud of than we are now. In fact, we might even work on it to the point where some of you might not want me to throw it away when we're done. Right now, I could probably take it and just dispose of it, and there's not going to be a lot of people coming to me saying, "What did you do with that piece of wood? I really want it." Some of you might, but I think some work could be done on that, right? And I hope that the mission you're a part of is beyond just this, and I hope that you're a part of making that ministry a good one and a good place to be. So this idea of creating ownership, maintaining ownership, I have the thought here of ownership is to have or hold as property. To have or hold as property, it's making something that I own. It's bigger than just a place I am. I recently had a friend of mine that used to work at camp. And here recently, he works at another mission, good mission. And I was talking to his director, one time, and we were just talking about ownership and talking about this idea of putting into your ministry. And at camp, we have some shirts that say Baldio Boys Camp on it. Pretty nice shirts. At this other ministry where my friend is at, they have some shirts that say the name of their ministry. And my friend was challenged once with the question. And not so much that this is about comparing ministries, as much as it is about something going on inside your heart. And that is, the question was, what would it take on a given morning when you had the two shirts laying on your bed, what would it take to pick this ministry over this ministry? Not that we're trying to compare who's better, but just that you are now a part of this ministry and you're not a part of that one anymore. You're not a part of Bald Eagle anymore, you're part of this one. What would it take for you to make that mental switch or that, yeah, I'll put that shirt on. And again, this isn't about comparing as much as, am I investing, am I bringing everything to my place of ministry? Because it's not about the shirts we wear or whatever, right? But it is about bringing our heart and bringing everything and not holding back and go, well, I'll watch and see what happens. Because I think God calls us to bring everything to whatever ministry we're at and not kind of hold back and watch. And we can do that, but we're not going to be, there's not going to be as much ownership in something that we're kind of going half ways. And if we're not willing to wear the shirt or wear, give it all. So this concept of ownership is taking care of what I have. So what do I have? We have a lot, right? We have a house to live in. I think all of us have a house to live in. We have some clothes to wear. We have a bedroom to sleep in. We have a job. We have some things, right? So we're not lacking. We have things. So there's things we can own. When a boy comes to camp, he is coming to camp not knowing much about it other than what was told him. And so when he comes to camp, we start off at his initial visit trying to get him to invest and to instill something in that boy that he, camp is a very important part of his life, and how can he invest in it right away. So at pre-placement, for number one, it's his decision to come. And I hope wherever you're at, it was your decision to be there. Nobody made you go to your ministry, whatever it is. That's something unique about camp. We're going to ask that boy, do you want to come to camp? And so he does. So there's a bit of ownership beginning already because I said I want to be here. And I think that's pretty important. You know, wherever you're at, you better want to be there. Or at least know that God wants you there and you're following. And because this is what God's got me going, yeah, got me doing. I tell boys when they come to camp too that this isn't my camp, and this isn't, you know, my supervisor's camp. This is your camp as well. It's all of ours, and we all have something to offer. We all have something to make this ours. And when you leave camp in a year and a half, or whenever you leave, this camp is your camp. And when you come drive up the lane when you're 25. You're going to drive this lane and say, you know what, this is my camp. I built something back there. I did this. There's things we're going to do here that is very much a part of you. You know, you are part of this thing. You know, you built this camp. And so, again, we start with, you know, some real basic stuff, like teaching the boy how to just be clean and neat and shower right, how to make his bed. We teach him how to clean a campsite, how to make things, his surroundings nice and neat, right? So we start with some pretty small things, but eventually all these things we're asking him to do, there's a lot of investment. And after a while, he wants to make his bed right, and he wants to sweep his tent out right, and he wants to rake his trails right, because it feels good, it feels right, and I don't even feel good about my trail if it looks messy. I don't feel good about my tent, my bed, if it's not made. So again, we're starting in pretty small with a boy, but I say the same thing for chiefs. When a chief or counselor comes to our camp, I say the same thing, and that is, this is your camp, and what can you do to make this camp a better place? Because this isn't just something we're going to do to you. This is your coming, and you have something to offer. So a chief gains ownership in a very similar way as a boy. So how does one gain ownership for things he is involved in? Colossians 3:22-25. I'm not going to look those up. I just have it, as you see on your sheet there, I have a the verse, kind of the phrase that I want to kind of look at, and that is verse 22. It says, "Work with sincerity of heart, even when no one is watching." So work with sincerity of heart, even when no one is watching. I mean, that tells me someone is, that's about somebody that's a man of integrity, doing the right thing, doing what you're called to do, even when there's not a supervisor watching, or there's not an overseer, somebody saying, I wonder if you did it or not. But it's just like, you're going to do the right thing, whether you get caught or not. So working with sincerity of heart, even when no one is watching. Verse 23 says, work with all your heart, do it for the Lord. And that's a person that put the right shirt on. he gave it all. He said, I'm in, and I want to do my part. I'm not just kind of giving 50% and watching, but I'm all in. I'm going to do it with all my heart. Verse 24 says, you are working for the Lord. And that's ultimately why we should be at our ministry, wherever that is, because you're working for the Lord. The Lord has called you to be a part of something bigger than what you were a part of, or what, yeah, where you were. And so you are working for the Lord. Verse 24 says that. A few quotes that I have written down. Personal self-worth is fostered when contributions are not only respected, but also welcomed. And so I think when personal self-worth is fostered, when contributions are not necessarily respected, but also welcomed, I think that's a boy at camp, a chief at camp, the person you're working with, you know, do we value their input or their contribution? Is it welcomed, or is it looked on as, not sure that's actually helping us very much? Camp or your mission, whatever it is no better than each person here. And let's not start viewing people within your mission as being he's the bad one, or there's a bad apple here somewhere. He or she is a part of what we're doing, and so let's do this together. And we need each other. A high premium is placed on the opinion of everyone at your ministry. You're important. You know, each one of you that's at your mission, you are important, and you play a key role. But it is up to you to know, how much you're given. How much are you given everything? So what brought you to your ministry? Possibly a call. You know, you feel God's calling you there. Maybe someone called you and said you should come, and then you felt God calling you there. Maybe it's a previous experience. Maybe your parents were there, and so you just kind of kept working there. Whatever it is, it's worth thinking about. What brought me to my place of ministry? Why am I here again? And ask yourself, do you like your job, the people you work with? What's keeping you there? And do you care? Do you care what happens at your ministry? Because I think you should. And I think if this is your ministry and we care about what it looks like or what it does, then you have a part to play into making it better. I want to just talk a little bit about Nehemiah. And again, you can read the whole story sometime. You really should. But I was inspired again just reading the story about Nehemiah here recently. But here's a man that saw a problem. And he saw that the wall of Jerusalem was down. And it's a problem. And we have things all the time at camp, and I'm sure you have things in your ministry that's a problem. We have some things need to change. Something broke, maybe something little broke, maybe something big. In this case here, Nehemiah has something pretty big. The Jerusalem, the wall is broken down. So he has a problem that's presented, verses 1, 3, and 4. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Nehemiah's response, pretty fascinating. He did a lot of things. Number one, he sat down. He wept. He mourned. He fasted. And he prayed. And to me, that sounds like a guy that looks at the wall as being a big deal. This is not just a small thing. This is something that I need to... I'm concerned about. When's the last time that, that I sat and wept and mourned and fasted and prayed over something? This is hitting him pretty hard. Chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do." This is God laying it on his heart. God saying, Nehemiah, there's something to be done. There's something that needs to happen. And Nehemiah could have at that point said, it's too big. I can't be a part of that. Build a wall? Are you serious? I can't do that. But God put it in his heart to do. And I would say that you are at your place of mission because God puts it in your heart to be there. And so are you ready to do it, right? Well, Nehemiah was. So it was in his heart to do it. He had a passion. He had a vision. He had a longing, a desire to build this wall. Chapter 2, verse 17 says, ye see the distress we are in. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem. And here's Nehemiah starting to build a little spirit. And at camp, we start talking about spirit. Talked about this yesterday a little bit at orientation. What is spirit? What is spirit? Chief Floyd, can you describe spirit? You're pretty good at spirit.
I'd say that Chief Vernon embodies spirit pretty well.
All right. All right, well, some days.
Just kind of getting behind something, getting excited about something.
Okay, yeah, getting behind it, yeah, and you need somebody to do it with you, right? And so it's about getting a group of people around you that says, you know what, we can go do something, and I need your help. And I think Nehemiah had this in his heart, that this wall needs to go up, and he knew he couldn't do it by himself. So he went and started getting some people around him saying, we need to do this. And he starts saying, ye see the distress we are in. It's not to me. I'm not going on saying, you see how bad I got it. No, he's saying, you see what's going on, how bad we have it. This is the distress we are in. Come, let us build the wall. Not come, I'm going to build the wall, but come, everybody. Let's do this together. And then verse 18 of chapter 2 says, I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. And then he starts sharing his vision for what God laid on his heart. And he's starting to get these people rallied around him saying, we can do this. He starts sharing that vision. And then verse 18 says, and they said, let us. Now they're talking suddenly. This is Nehemiah talking all this time. But in verse 18 it says, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. And I start envisioning this idea of we can do this. We can do this together. Verse 20, the God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. And so we have a vision that was instilled in us. It's no longer just Nehemiah's vision. This is them now saying, we are his servants. We will arise and build. And there's momentum. Now we have momentum to go do something. This started as a little vision or a little thought. Oh my goodness, the wall needs to be built from Nehemiah, and he's created a movement, a vision for something bigger, and I need people to help me. And now he has people saying, let's do this. And then I love, chapter 3, we'll just talk about it a little bit, but it's interesting. They start talking about what they did. They builded and they started naming all the gates that they builded. They says they builded the sheep gate, the fish gate. I guess there's certain gates where the fish come in, and here's where the sheep come in. Then they had the beams, the doors, the locks, the bars. And unto him, and then next unto him, this is when they're repairing it. They started naming all that stuff. The broad wall, the other piece, I'm not sure what that was, but they named it. It was the other piece, the tower of the furnaces, the valley gate, the dung gate, the gate of the fountain, the wall of the pool of Siloa, the stairs. And verse 28 goes to the horse gate. And then all the way back to the sheep gate again. So we made it all the way around. They named all the gates from sheep gate to, and then they named them, named them all until we're all the way back around again. And that's what they're building. And they named it. They didn't say, let's go build a wall, But there's something about naming it that is ownership as well. Because we're not just going to build a wall. We're working on the broad wall today, okay? And the horse gate. And we're going to finish that horse gate. And when that horse gate's done, the horse gate's done, and I did it, and you did it, and so did you. And we together built the horse gate. And that's pretty awesome. We didn't just build a wall. We built the horse gate. And you built the valley gate. And somebody did the dung gate, hallelujah. And the wall of the pool of Siloa. We got all kinds of stuff going on. So there's something about naming what you're doing that you're a part of because your name, you helped. And when boys come back to camp, they want to go back to campsite. They want to see me a little bit, but not really. They really want to see their chiefs, and they really want to see their campsite because they built it. And they named their tents, too. There's a name for every one of their tents because they built it, and they want to see it because they remember the day they spent drilling that hole and making that notch and you know, lashing that thing, and it's theirs. Their campsite's theirs. I've had boys come back. We go back to campsite and I go show them, and they, you know, some boys are like, "Oh, this looks great." Some guys are like, "Oh my, this thing went downhill since I was here. And, you know, this is terrible." And oh yeah, oh, why are they doing that? They, oh, I can't believe they did that. And, you know, we did. Oh, we worked hard for that. You know, and they're naming all these things that they worked hard to do, and I can't believe they let that go. Oh my, you know, stuff that they had ownership for. You know, they notice if the next people don't have ownership for it, right? Because they cared, because they put time, effort, sweat, and tears into this. So again, here's Nehemiah getting all these people helping, right? So Nehemiah 4:6 says, "We built the wall, so we built the wall." I didn't build the wall. No, we did. So we built the wall. And how did we do that? Well, it says, "For the people had a mind to work." And again, that came out of spirit, right? We're doing this together. I want to help do this. Everybody's helping. There was a focus. We had a need for each other. And they did. And then adversity came. And we know how the story goes. There was folks that conspired against them. Nehemiah 4:9 says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night." We are in this together. There was unity. They had a plan. In verse 14, I'm going to actually jump down a little further there. I'll come back to the three hows here shortly. But Nehemiah 4:14-23 talks about how they did it with adversity. That's on the second page there. But Nehemiah 4:14-23 talks about, "Be not afraid. Remember the Lord. Fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters, your wives, your houses." And again, they named what they're fighting for. We're in this together. Verse 16 talks about half of them working, half of them holding spears, shields, bows, the other half working. From the rising of the sun until the going down, the same. From the rising of the sun until the stars appear is what it says. But can you imagine if this group of people right here, we decided to do a project, but we felt like there was a lot of people trying to interfere. And so half of us are doing the project, and the rest of us are just guarding, all right? Just trying to help everything, you know, and you all feel, say this side over here is doing the garden, you guys are doing the work. There'd be a tremendous amount of respect and compassion for each other, wouldn't there? Because you all know if they quit standing there with their spears, you're going to be killed, probably. And you all know that if you stop, you know, guarding these folks, the wall or whatever project we're working on isn't going to happen, right? And so by doing this, you're creating a tremendous amount of community where we need each other. And I think that was very evident in this story, that this group of people needed each other. You can't do this without each other. And we're talking half of the crowd working, with the other half trying to keep people safe. And so when you have a group of people at your mission, in the same war, in the same fight, in the same vision, I think that same mentality needs to be there. We are in each other's corner. We are here for you, and you're here for me, and we need each other. And I can't do it without you. I can't do camp without chiefs. I can't do camp without boys. I can't do, you know, whatever mission you're a part of, you need other people to help you do it. We need each other. And I think that was very evident with Nehemiah and the group of people he had. Jumping back here to the three hows at camp, just yesterday, actually, we had a group of boys head to the Suwannee River in Florida, which took a lot of work to get there, right? But they left. They got in the bus, the camp bus, and they headed south. They're heading to Florida for 3 weeks. Well, before they leave, and this happens before any trip, or at the end of a trip, and it happens at camp fairly often now and again, but we do this thing called we do three hows, and we stand in a circle. We have our 10 guys and two chiefs, and we're just ready to get on the bus, and it's time to go to the Suwannee River, and we all put our hands in there like this. We all lean in here real good. We're all nice and tight, and we go on the count of three. We're going to go how really, really loud, and it's really good. So everybody has your hand in there, and we go 1, 2, 3, how, just like that. A lot louder, a lot better. And then we get in the bus and we go. So what are we doing? Why do we do that? Well, one thing, there's some spirit behind it, but what does that mean, right? And so now every now and then we need somebody to tell us what it's for. And what the three hows stand for? Well, it's we love you, and that's what they're saying to each other. We love you, we care for you, and we stand by you. And that's what we're going to do. We're gonna love each other, we're going to care for each other, and we're going to stand by each other. And here we go. We're leaving camp. We're off and running, and we need everybody. And then after the trip, you know, we'll do it again, and then we do it at the end of a session, and we do it, you know, here and there. But that's something that I think is a pretty powerful thing, that we're in this together. And some days don't look fun, aren't pretty. Some days are hard. And I'm sure there's days at your mission and the things you're involved in that are just straight up hard and not fun. But I think that mentality of you and your staff team, are you guys doing this together? Do we love each other? Do we care for each other? Are we going to stand by each other? That's what holds you together. That's what helps you accomplish what you came to do, to accomplish that call that God laid on your heart to do mission work wherever you are, because you're committed to each other and the mission, where we're trying to head. Nehemiah 6:15-16 says, "So the wall was finished." Verse 16 says, "They perceived that this work was wrought of our God." They understood God was in this. They perceived that this work was wrought of our God. There was a sense of pride, a sense of accomplishment, that spirit of we did this together, but yet also recognizing that without God, we couldn't have done this. There's no way in the world we could have done this. And I think that's also very important to understand. Whatever you're doing at your mission, without God, it's empty. And there's really... it's nothing special. You know, what God has done, what God has helped you do, that's what's amazing. And we can't do it without God. I think that's very important to remember, that it doesn't start becoming about us and what I bring and that I'm the best craftsman and I can make this piece of wood look the best. That's not what it's about. It's about bringing my best, not because it's me, but because of God, right? And God is the one that gets the honor and glory for anything the good that happens at your mission. Or at camp or wherever. I remember a few years back with this whole idea of coming or being at camp, especially when I was thinking of being camp director, I struggled a lot with the idea of becoming a camp director. I didn't really want to be. I didn't feel like I could. I was afraid that probably the whole place would crash and burn, and then it would be my fault, and everybody would know that Chief Laverne's the one that pretty much put that thing to the ground, and it was a good run for the first 20 years, but yeah, kind of went south then after Mr. Beachy showed up, and so I didn't really want that to be on my resume for life, and so I was like, you know, probably the best thing at this point would be to, you know, I got other things to do. Anybody ever feel like you don't want to be that guy? And so I remember I went out and, you know, sought the Lord one day and really needed to find out from God, you know, what does God want me at camp or be a camp director? Or, you know, really, should I do this? And it was, yeah, a lot of things happened that day. But one thing that really stuck out in my mind was this idea of this ministry, Bald Eagle Boys Camp, is not about me. So what am I actually worried about? I'm really worried here about this thing crashing and burning and all this thing. And, well, if it does, I mean, that's not even the question. The question should be, am I willing to follow God? Does God want me at camp? And if he wants me at camp, then that's what I need to do. And if it crashes and burns, that's just part of God's plan. And, hey, I was a part of it. Awesome. I'm glad I could... glad I could be a part of that. That was really good times. And so I had to kind of come, okay, all right. And that gave me a lot of freedom in becoming director, knowing that my next step is simply just to go do what I feel God's laying on my heart to go do. And then whatever happens, happens. But it's not on me. I mean, I'm just doing the next thing, right? And I remember sitting on the bank, out in the middle of the woods, up in the woods of northern Pennsylvania. I left camp and went to another little spot, which there's lots of trees at camp too, but at any rate, it was a new area, and I sat on this bank, and I remember I was just watching the trees, the woods. I mean, it was just solid trees, green trees, on the mountainside over there, and there's a creek below me, and it was just trees. And I remember just sitting there and thinking about kind of what I've just described to you. And I'm looking across the way there, and I remember just looking at this tree. And we're talking millions of trees out here. This isn't just, this is a forest of trees. And I'm looking. And the tree I'm looking at, the tree I happen to be looking at that moment, fell. Like it just, boom. And I'm like, that is amazing. Like I'm sitting here looking at the forest. And there a tree way over there. I'm just happened to be looking over there. And there it went. Like, boom. Made a nice noise. And just, I was like, wow, that is amazing. Like, I understand if I'd been sitting here looking this way and I heard something over here, I looked and saw it go down. No, I was looking at it, and then it went down. And I was like, you know what? That, God did that for me to let me know that my job is simply to do what I'm called to do and give it my all. Because that's what that tree did. That tree grew, did its thing for 70, 80 years. I don't know how big the tree was. And then it went down. And the forest looked exactly the same as it did before. It wasn't like I sat there and looked in there and said, oh, wow, what a hole. Bummer. Poor tree. You know, or the poor trees around it. Instead, it was like, there's nothing changed. But yet that tree did something. It grew. It did a lot of things in its lifetime. But it went down, and it was zero effect really on the landscape. And I'm like, you know what, thank you Jesus. You know, I all I need to do is do what's in front of me, right? It's not about me. And when I go down, when I die, when I blow the place up, when I whatever happens, it's okay. It's not life changing altering, you know. It's just, you know, I'm just a tiny part of God's story. You know, God has something going on way bigger than just me. And here I am all stressed out over my little story that's that big. I'm just a tree out in the middle of a lot of good stuff going on. And again, I think it's important to remember that as your mission. My mission, can't, whatever it is, we're just one of many. There is a ton of good things going on. I mean, you come to this conference and all the good ministries are going, it's amazing. But there's a lot more that aren't even here, right? A lot of good things going on. And I don't want to get caught up in saying that Baldy Boys Camp is the mission. Or that, you know, this is where it's at. It's not true. You know, God is doing amazing things all over. And we're just a little part of God's big picture. And so am I willing, as a person at camp, to give my all and just be a part of that. And it's not about what I do. It's not about me. So maybe just a few things about creating ownership at camp. How do I create ownership? Commitment leads to ownership. So when you're committed, I think, yeah, commitment is what makes you want to work on this piece of wood, because you want to, I'm committed to making this better, right? I'm not just here, but I'm committed. So I want to do my part. So build relationships with coworkers, for one. That's a good place to start. How are we doing it? Let's start having good relationships with the people I work with. And I'll just read over a few here. Be self-motivated. Dream for others. You know, look around at some other people and see the potential other people have. And say, you know what? That's awesome. I bet you could do that. You'd be good at that if you would do, you know, whatever it is. But are we looking around and actually looking for, you know, are we dreaming for our coworkers, people that we're working with? Invest in others. What am I willing to invest in others? What would be the results? Tell others what you see in them. Get a plan, do it, evaluate it. We talk about that at camp a lot. Do things in a good attitude, do your best, make improvements. There was a chief once at camp that came to me once and said, just curious if I'd be okay with him cutting some trees down along the lane, that he just saw this great spot, that if he could cut some trees down, it would be a fantastic view, and he could take pictures. It would just look really, really nice right along the lane. Well, I don't know. Do we want to cut trees off in the middle of our lane? I don't know. Our lane's kind of nice, right? Well, truth of the matter is, it's not a bad idea. In the spot he wanted to do it, sure, it could work. So I said, yeah, sure. That'd be great. I mean, you know, that's what you'd like to do. So he did. He went and cut some trees down and had a pretty nice view for pictures. And it didn't affect camp. It didn't wreck camp. It didn't wreck the lane. But it was something he wanted to do to make an improvement, right? That same chief later wanted to come back to camp and grind out some stumps that he thought would just make it look nicer. Absolutely. Bring your stuff up and let's do it. But there's a guy that wanted to, you know, bring his own skills and his own stuff back to camp and say, well, I want to improve. I want to help. And it's because he decided that camp was a place that he owned, or he took it on himself, that I'm a part of this thing. And he was allowed to do that, which I think helped him want to do more stuff, because he cared, right? And so so looking around at your mission and saying, what are things I can improve on? Might not fit your job description, but that might be okay. Maybe you should check in with somebody before you cut down a bunch of stuff and repaint the whole place. But, you know, if there's some things you can do, might be some things to make some improvement, right? Now that I think can provide some ownership for you. It should hurt when I see disrespect of people, property, or program. There should be something inside of us that kind of reacts or is like, I don't feel good if we, you know, if the place I'm working at is being disrespected, or it's the people that work there are being disrespected or whatever. A few things on maintaining, sustaining ownership. Maybe I won't read through all of them. You have them on your paper. Foster an atmosphere of freedom to fail, liberty to grow. Establish some groups, we groups, men's or ladies, doing some different things. I know, having a group of men that you can be a part of, where maybe you're not even doing camp things or ministry kind of things, like your ministry, but you're just spending time together. Like, I think that's important. And the ladies at camp or at ministry, wherever you are, doing some things, I think that helps. It creates ownership, or I'm a part of something. It's not just about the mission, but it's about each other. Do things as a group, doing some different things. Everybody's mission is different and it's set up different, so I don't want to make it sound like you have to do things like we do. So my ideas are kind of coming out of camp, so it's going to have to look a little different at where you're at. But I guess what I'm trying to promote is this idea of everyone's important, and when we do things together versus just me doing my little thing and you don't even know where I went all weekend, and sometimes people at camp feel like, good grief, we know everything about everybody and everything. At the end of the day, there's something really good about that. It actually feels kind of good that we kind of know what's going on, and there's a community there that we're a part of. And when we're gone, you know, we kind of want to know what happened over the weekend, what went on, because there's a connection there, right? I sent a picture on Friday. We did a training at camp, and then it was all the men at camp. We did this training, so it was 18 or so of us, and then we went out for lunch afterwards. And that was fun. We go to a restaurant and eat, and we're just, you know, it was just good times. I took a picture of it, or one of my friends did, actually. I took a picture of it, and I sent it to a former staff person that I knew would appreciate it. And his comment was, oh, I won't say everything he said because it's whatever, but he just said, oh, man. He's like, I just missed that. I just missed the camaraderie of doing things together. So I think wherever you're at and whatever you're part of, doing things together and that feeling of that I need you and you need me, I think that's it goes a long way in helping me enjoy where I'm at and what I'm doing. Have fun together, do all together, work projects, value time spent together, make goals, evaluate together. And I guess as a way to wrap this up a little bit, I guess I want to encourage you all to remember the call. Remember why you're at your place of ministry. What brought you there? And it's good to go revisit that once in a while. It's good for me to do that. It's good for me to talk about that tree that fell. It's good for me to revisit why I'm at camp. And I think it's important for each one of us to do that and say, so what brought me here? And am I just doing it, or am I actually a key part of making this ministry better? And one thing that just happened recently at camp, which is doing that for me, we graduated two boys last session, and one boy, while he was at camp, his mom and dad split up, which is a huge deal for him. It's hard for him to talk about, but through the help of our family worker, going down there and asking them, do you want to save your marriage, and working with them, the dad, and this was a stepdad, but he came back, And the day that Ty graduated, the dad stood up and said, you know, camp saved our marriage. And to me, that's why I'm at camp. That's why I'm doing what I do, because the marriages are being saved. And boys are getting help, right? And to me, that's pretty important. Like, if I'm just doing camp because it's what I'm supposed to do, okay, I can do that. But to me, I need to remember what's really important and what's really, you know, why are we even doing camp, right? Well, that's why we're doing camp, to save some marriages, save some families, and save some boys, right? Another boy was Tristan. And when he came to camp, I don't know of any other boy that ever came to camp, and not saying it never happened, but I know this was the first time I ever heard it, and this was a boy that came to camp that asked the question. His chief, he was at camp about 2 weeks, and he asked his chief back at his camp, so he said, what is God? He didn't say, who is God, or tell me more about God, or I've heard of God sometime. He said, what? Well, since God isn't what, I mean, you know, right? What is God? He heard us talking about it. Well, what is God? And so our chief had the opportunity to talk to him about who God is, and it was a tough. I mean, yeah, Tristan was one of those boys. It was hard at camp. He came from a really, really tough situation at home. His home visits were with different people about every time. His mom showed up for graduation, but barely. He actually, when he left camp, he actually did go to his dad. It wasn't his biological dad, but it was his dad. Anyway, his home situation continues to not be real good. However, it was very significant to me, however, when I often ask boys to tell me a song that you'd like us to sing on your graduation day. You know, what's your favorite song? Your camp song. We sing a bunch of songs at camp. What's your favorite song? We'll sing it. Well, the boy that said, what is God, picked a song called Lead Me. And I want to read a little bit of that song. Because here's a guy that didn't know what God was. And he says, and he's thinking it out of a boy that's very, his home situation is a mess. But this is how the song goes. It says, Lord, I'm through trying to take the upper hand. I never knew, but now I think I understand. On my own, wanting it in black and white. On my knees, things are in a different light. Lead me along the path. Lead me along the winding way. I trust enough to never need the why, if you'll take me to the where. Lead me along the path. Lead me along the winding way. I don't know what's around the corner, Lord, but I know that you'll be there. And then the second verse says, Lord, I'm through wondering what lies in store. It's up to you. You've never let me down before. Bubbles burst when I'm the one who knows what's best. When you're first, I'm never going to second guess. And then the chorus says, lead me along the path. And from a boy that didn't know who this God was to saying, I'm not sure what's next, but lead me, that's pretty powerful. And that again tells me, you know, why am I camp? Why am I investing in boys and going through these hard things? What's for that? It's for boys to find out who Jesus is. It's for families to be saved, marriages to be saved. And some stories don't end like that, honestly. I mean, they don't. Some boys leave camp and they aren't saved. And some boys leave camp and they don't do well sometimes. And I'm sure there's stories in your ministry that are awesome. And then there are some that, it just didn't work out as well as you'd hoped. And that's okay, as long as you are investing and doing what you can to make your ministry a place of growth, and you're bringing everything. Now I just need to show you one more thing yet. So after you invest in your ministry, and you really give it all you got, then you got something to be proud of, and you're not going to want to throw away, and then you get something kind of like that. Ain't that pretty cool? I did that last night. No, I'm just kidding. No, I didn't. Actually, I didn't do. Yeah, I was made by one of my coworkers. Actually,
it's all the same piece of wood.
That is the same piece of wood. I mean, that was yeah. And you could do something like that. But I'm not, you know. And Chief Tyler, who made that for me, you know, that's a lot of work to get to that, right? And so it's not something you just want to get rid of real quick. And with some work on this, you know, I'm pretty sure we could probably get something looking close to that, also. And you're not going to want to get rid of it real quick. When you've invested time, energy, blood, sweat, and tears into this, you want to keep it, right? And I think in the same way, again, not that your ministry is this wonderful thing that you did. It's what God's doing, but it's really beautiful when God's the one that we're honoring in our mission, in our ministry, whatever we're doing. And it's something that we're proud to be a part of. Not because we're amazing, but because God is, and God's doing amazing things. So thank you for your attention. Appreciate it.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.